Test, test. Can everybody hear me fairly well? All right. Well, it got a little warm for me up here, so I took off my coat. Plus, you know, you always tend to get a little nervous up here, too, sometimes. And for me, because it's been a while. But, and I pray and I hope that today's message is felt and taken, you know, with good and received. Oh, good standards. Okay, hold on. Here we go. All right, so it's just me up here today. And usually I'm the one running all this technical stuff, but all right. Yeah, that's what I'm doing, multitasking. I've got to make sure I put everything. Okay, it's been a while. Too loud? Too long? It's been too long. Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess it has been a too long for since I've been up here. But I just pray and I hope that the Holy Spirit, that this word and what I have to share is not from me, but from the Lord above. So, okay, I think I'm ready, and I need to speak loud enough because I want you to understand and hear everything that needs to be said. And normally, not normally, because it's been a while, what I like to do, and I've always liked to, is that to get you start to think, to open your minds to think, to really think and evaluate. See, because I was having a difficult time with the title of my sermon. And then the sermon, but it's just a God thing. It's truly a God thing, and I've always said it's always been a God thing. Because as today, as I taught the adult class, really kind of incorporated and somewhat in some feelings, and what I myself was looking to ask the Lord to help me to reveal or to bring forward to you today. And so it's been a wonderful blessing. So, in deciding what my title of my sermon, and I decided it's with a question. It's with a question that, do you live like you believe? That's what I want you to think about. Put that in your mind, put it in your thoughts, and really look at yourself more closely. Do you live like you believe? See, there is a difference in knowing God and to know God. Again, a difference in knowing God and to know God. See, knowing God is by reading the Bible, knowing the stories, and others sharing and talking about God. But there is still more to it than just reading the Word and recalling what is written. To know God. There's a lot more to it. To know God. See, the Pharisees knew the law. They interpret the law, they quote the law, and they follow the traditions of the law. They followed the traditions of the law, and looking at it, the Torah, because that was the only thing there at the time. So it's easy to say they knew God. Interpreters of the law, they studied the law, they knew the God. That's what they were doing. Easy to say that they knew God. However, they missed the mark in the spirit of the law. They used their knowledge of the law and their interpretation of the law for their own selfishness and pride. Let's look at Matthew 23, 1 through 3. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to the works, for they say and do not." Let me highlight this. I want to highlight that the Pharisees had an important responsibility. Understand, they had important responsibilities, as Jesus points out. The Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. that and observe and do, because they sit and they were the interpreters of the law. The law was still there for the people, for them to understand. But, however, he goes on to say about their selfishness and pride. Going back to the last verse in 3, it says, "For they say and do not do." See, let's move on to verses 5 and 6. "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They work, they make their phylacteries, and that's a tongue twister for me, broad. So they make this broad and enlarge their borders of their garments. They love the best seats at feasts, the best seats in the synagogue." Is that kind of selfishness and pride? They wanted the best for themselves. They wanted the best in anything and everything. But I would like to share, who else knows God? Who else knows God? And that is to say, the world knows of God. We know this because it fights hard wanting to remove the very existence of God. The world believes the Bible is just another book of fiction filled with fables and a story of a man who did amazing things but never existed. And then a man who did amazing things but never existed. See, I can say that the world laughs and says, you know, really? A talking donkey? Water into wine? I'm pretty sure they're saying, I think the talking donkey came into heaven after the writer had way too much wine. Way too much wine. Why not? If he can make water into wine, then that donkey is talking for sure. A little too much wine. But this is what I'm speaking. I know, I love it. Joe's not here to see my finger. He loves my fingers. He loves me that I point. However, I am not speaking of the world, but I am speaking to you and my fellow brethren, those who call themselves Christians, followers of Christ. You come to church and listen to the word. You read your Bible and you pray. However, do you know God? Do you know God? Again, I will say, do you live like you believe? Do you live like you believe? See, in Matthew 7, 22-33, it says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Ouch. Does that not hurt? Like, yeah, Brother Bunky, what are you trying to say? Come on now, brother. I thought you were supposed to give us good word. Lift up our spirits. I am. What I'm trying to tell you, that this is what Jesus says. Jesus is saying in Matthew 5:28, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven." Ooh. Look at that. Think about that. That's why I want you to think. Are you living like you believe? Because there's knowing God, and there's to know God. Pharisees knew God. They knew of God. See, now Jesus, beginning the fullness of his ministry, teaching, and enlightenment of the law, he brought forth chaos upon the selfishness, pride of the Pharisees and their legalism interpretation of the law. For they knew God, but forgot the true meaning of to know God. The law is not meant for punishing his people, but for reconciliation. Reconciliation, obedience with his people. Obedience and reconciliation with his people. Yet, Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, illuminating the spirit of the law. Illuminating, bringing to light the spirit of the law. And being the living example of how truly to know and live in God. How to truly know and live in God. Matthew 5, 17 and 18 says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means from the law, will pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Till all is fulfilled. See, to begin to know God, you need to have faith. You need to believe. You need to receive Him. You need to receive Him. Faith, believe, and receive. See, in Romans 10, 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Exactly, amen. And hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God says, okay, if we have this, and we understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God, then the Word of God says this in John 1 through 1 through 2, 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." So, in the beginning, He was there. But let's look further down to John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace and truth. And you know what's so interesting about this whole thing, why I connect it to why it's a God thing for today's, for me, and I pray for you, is that this verse was also used. And I hadn't seen it yet after, till I studied for the adult class, that this verse was also used in the studies. And I said, "Thank you and praise you, God. Hallelujah." Because He's speaking to me. Full of grace and truth. So then let's look at John 1:12, where it says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." So we have faith. We have believing, and we have the acceptance. "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in His name." And that's important, to believe in His name. See, you have heard the parable of the sower. The sower spreads his seeds over various grounds, and as the sower casts his seeds, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured them. Some fell on stony ground, in which they did not have very much earth. So they immediately sprang up, and when the sun came up, it scorched and withered them away, because it had no root. It had no root. Excuse me. That's Satan. That's for sure. However, some seed did fall on good ground and yielded a crop. some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Some fell on good ground and yielded a crop, 100, 60, and 30-fold. But what I want you to understand, what I'm asking you to understand, is that you are that good ground. That you are that good ground. The seed took root in you. Understand that the seed took root in you. You are that good ground. And it is through that root, the crop will bear good fruit. That crop will bear good fruit. For the Word of God says in John 15:3-5, you are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That is the root of our belief. That is the root of our faith that we've come to accept and receive. See, I believe that I hope that all of you says, hey, whoa, wait a minute. There was still one more, Brother Bunty. What are you trying to tell me? There's still one more. He says, you forgot one. I said, did I? He says, what about the seed that fell amongst the thorns? What? Why are we going to talk about that? Why amongst the thorns? Well, we need to. What about the seeds that fell amongst the thorns? And when they sprang up, the thorns choked them out. Aha, I say. And I hope you all say, aha. This is true, because that's still part of the parable. This is true. But I like how Mark explains this portion of the parable. Let me tell you what Mark says, because I like the way it puts it. It says in Mark 4:18-19, it says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And it becomes unfruitful. See, let me take a closer look at that in verse 19. It says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. What cares of this world? What are the deceitfulness of riches? And what are the desires of other things enter in? We can really think about that. We can look at that. And that's why I'm asking, and I'm not speaking to the world, but I'm speaking to you. What are the deceitful things in you? What are your desires of other things in you? What are the cares of this world in you? See, there's so much that we can come up with, and then we can talk about, but what I want you to think about are the distractions in your life. The distractions in your life. Your life can be difficult enough, and then wanting to balance the desires of this world and God will only prove problematic. See, look at Matthew 6:24, and I'm going to paraphrase. It says, we cannot serve two masters, as we will either hate one and love the other, or we will be loyal to one and despise the other. Therefore, we cannot serve God and mammon. See, I have another question for you to think about. Another question. It says, do distractions only come upon those amongst the thorns? Think about that. So, does the distractions only come to those who are cast among the thorns so the thorns can choke them out. Is that the only? I want to say I think not. I think not. See, the world already daily provides much distraction in our own personal lives, that we have distractions that cause us to stumble, cause us to doubt, causes us to stress, and causes us to worry, causes us to fear. See, the world provides enough of that in everybody's life. A couple of more questions I want you to think about. And remember, we're still thinking about, do you live like you believe? So, the next questions I have for you is that, can we be our own distraction? Can we be our own distractions? Can there also be distraction in the church? Ooh, what are you talking about? No way, it's full of God's people. Can there be distractions in the church? Yes and yes. See, we can sometimes be our own enemy because I don't feel like going to church today. I just don't feel like it today. I have other plans. I just don't want to be around someone of the people of the church. I just don't want to be around some of the people of the church. I just don't feel like it. Selfishness. Pride. Gossip. And, if I can get this paper so I can keep my notes going, treatment of others. In other words, attitude can be a distraction in church. My attitude is great. Really? And sometimes we need to self-check ourselves, don't we? I have a good attitude. Ask anyone. They'll tell you. Or I'm telling you right now. I have a great attitude. We need to check ourselves. We need to check ourselves. So, just a reminder so you just don't forget. Don't forget this, okay? See, Jesus tells Peter when he was rebuking Jesus and hindering the will of God. See, Peter was hindering the will of God. He told Jesus. And Jesus turns to Peter and said in Matthew 16:23, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Ooh. Ouch. Because you are mindful of you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. See, I want you to understand more. I want you to understand that we have been given the authority to cast out and to rebuke what is not of God. I don't know if you guys remember that, or you know that, or can recall that. Because remember, there's a difference between knowing God and to know God. See, looking back at what Jesus tells Peter, "For you are not mindful of the things." But looking at Luke, let me go back. I think I jumped ahead. So what we don't understand, I want you to give that we have the authority to rebuke what is of not, what is not of God. See, in Luke 10:19, it says this: "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all over and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and the power and over the power of the enemy. Now let's go on. Now let's look at another verse in Matthew 10:1. It says, "And when he called his disciples to him, he gave them the power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." Again, looking back at what Jesus told Peter, "For you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." See, I want you to understand. I need you to understand. God has given us authority and given us power. He was always, he says, we must always be mindful. See, we always must be mindful of the thorns and distractions that spring up around us. See, we must always cultivate our ground. Although you are a good ground, doesn't necessarily mean that weeds and thorns does not spring up, because there are distractions in our own lives, and we too can be our own distractions. So we need to cultivate, always cultivate, and remove these from our own ground. See, we need to focus on God, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we must rebuke the evil spirits that keep us from living and walking in God. We need to rebuke those. And I want you to understand, we need to rebuke doubt. We need to rebuke fear. We need to rebuke all the stumbling blocks, rebuke the distractions and hindrances in our lives, and rebuke the sickness and plagues that plagues our body and our spirits. We have that power to do that. Jesus granted us and gave us that authority to do so. And so I invoke you to use that power. For there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. You know, it's the same power, I want you to understand, that it's the same power that commands the dead to wake, the same power that can calm the raging sea, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, the same power lives in us. And yes, Jeremy Camp does sing that, and I love that song because of that reason. Because you've been given that authority, you've been given that right, that it's that same power that you have that raised Jesus from the dead, not only from the dead, but to cast out and rebuke anything and all things that hinder your walk in the Lord with Jesus. See, to know God is to live in God and He in you. Like you believe, you need to live like you believe. It says, because He who is in you is greater than he was in the world. John 1:4-4, and that was our scripture reading for today. See, it says you are of God, little children. See, because you received them and you've become the right to be called children of God. And that's why, you know, there's a lot more to this. And that could be a whole different sermon as well. But you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Live like you believe. This is not for the world. They need to come to know God and truly know God. I speak to you, my brethren, my family, because I love you so much, and I want you to understand that the authority that was given to you was given by the same God that lived yesterday, lives today, and lives forevermore. We have that strength and that power that He's given us, and we need to invoke that. We need to invoke that, because without it, there's nothing. We're going to allow the distractions of this world, the desires of our own heart, to overtake us, and then we lose the focus of living like we believe. Praise you, God. I want you to understand that so much with my heart, because we do have already enough distractions in our lives. And sometimes if we continue to look at the distractions even within our church within our body, then we lose focus. In conclusion, Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. He calls us to be light of the world. Be imitators of God. Let your light so shine. Live like you believe. Love like you believe. Glory to God, our Father, in Jesus, amen. I thank you for today. God bless you. Praise God.